The Church and Basic Human Needs. What does man really need? When Jesus commissioned his disciples to go out into the world, they were to proclaim the kingdom of heaven's nearness. In other words, that God was ready to rule within human personality. Then they were to heal the sick. Sickness is a condition. They were to cleanse the lepers. Now, leprosy in the scriptures covers many kinds of diseases, including, I think, diseases like cancer. They had to raise the dead and cast out devils. In other words, they were to proclaim the power to cope with sickness, diseases of various kinds, death and bereavement, and the powers of Satan. So the church commission was to meet man in his need and show him how the gospel has power to enable him to cope with his problems. Part number one, compassion. Com means with, and patio is to suffer. Compassion is suffering with. Empathetic, sympathetic. Fitting in to the needs from the viewpoint of the person that we are helping. In compassion is pity. You cannot pity anyone you do not love. When you pity somebody, you want to change their relationships with their circumstances in life, and that is how love functions. So when one has compassion, he is exhibiting one area of the outworking of the principle of love. Compassion is not static. It produces action. When Jesus had compassion on the multitude because they were scattered abroad, a sheep not having a shepherd, what did he do? He acted. He used the resources that he had available, and with the blessing of God and the power of intercessory prayer, he fed a multitude. And as he did this, he brought glory to God as he blessed his fellow men. Just as faith without works is dead, compassion without deeds of kindness is also dead. Part number two, poverty. Christ declared that the poor would always be there. There never will be a time when there will not be poor. And the Old Testament unfolds the interesting truth that since this is so, God uses it as a foil against which the kindness of his people should be displayed. We are to help the poor. And the poor is the one who touches us. As we come into contact with them, individuals must function on this level. And the man who is poor in this world's good might be rich in faith. Now the man who has may love what he has. The love of money is the root of all evil. And the idolatry of money is also the root of all evil. So those of us who may have a little more than our next door neighbor who has nothing and is classified as poor are required by God to share with them the treasures that God has given to us. Part number three, the poor and the kingdom. Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Now the poor here, it goes beyond total lack of the resources of life. It means a humble, quiet, teachable, not independent or arrogant or chauvinistic spirit. It looks at the scriptures, it listens to the gospel, it heeds the still small voice and realizes that there is something beyond. That's exactly the opposite of the Laodicean condition. The Laodicean condition says, I am not poor, I'm rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing. But what they lacked was the gold of faith, the eye salve of the spirit, the fine linen of the righteousness of Christ. And this they needed to change. So the poor that receive the gospel are the ones who are dissatisfied with their lot, realize they have not got it, and want it from Jesus Christ. Aliens and refugees. It's amazing, as one studies the history of Christianity, the simple methods by which Christianity has been planted in various countries. Christian soldiers in the Roman army probably took Christianity to Great Britain. Christian slaves fleeing from their masters have taken Christianity into other countries. Refugees moving from one dangerous, difficult area into another have taken with them the principles of Jesus Christ. The church, as individuals, must regard themselves as aliens and pilgrims and refugees in this present world. An alien is a person who is living in a country in which he was not born, that is not his native land. A refugee is one who is fleeing from tyranny or danger or need in a country. The Christian is, in a sense, an alien. His citizenship is in heaven. He is a refugee from the persecution that Satan would bring about him. But as he moves, he must take with him the principles of the kingdom of heaven that he can share. Now we can look at this idea from another point of view. In the world, there are many literal aliens and refugees. How do we treat them? They're strangers in a strange land. They have cultural shock. They have linguistic barriers. They have left all their friends and those items that have given them assurance and purpose and personhood in the land of their birth. And now they have nothing. They cannot even understand what is being said to them. What should the church do for such? They should be sympathetic because of their own experiences in Egyptian bondage, is what the Lord told his people long ago. And the principle applies to us today. Part number 5, oppression. Oppression opened the New World to Protestantism. Those who were fleeing the persecution of the Old World found a refuge in the eastern seaboard of the new land of America. And there they established Christianity. Oppression was exploited by God's providence to open a new continent and a new country and the world to new vistas of freedom. But there is oppression in the world today. There may be oppression in families. The unbelieving husband might persecute his wife. Unbelieving parents might persecute their children. Unbelieving employers might persecute their workers. What has a church got to do in certain circumstances? Show compassion, understanding, come near, give oneself time, talents, ability, perhaps money, certainly fellowship, so that we can help the needy, the sick, the helpless, the poor. Trade unions might be a source of oppression. The factory system might bring about a certain kind of psychological slavery. We don't know what factors are helping to make people miserable, and they may feel a tightness and a pressure, fenced in, walled around, no road out. The church then should be ready to help the oppressed. Part number 6, loneliness. A lonely person is one without close friends, close relatives, or a purpose in life. He is bored, he is frustrated, there's no one to talk to, no one to share with, he doesn't know what to do. Jesus is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We should be such friends. What a friend we have in Jesus. He comes close to us. What friends we should be if Jesus is dwelling in us. If Jesus is a friend and Jesus lives in us, he will make us friendly too. And the apostle tells us that we can visit. Visit. Now that doesn't take too much skill. Sit with them. Allow them to talk. I think some of the most effective counseling I have ever done, at times when I have said nothing. I remember one member of a church, so full she kept on talking about what a help I had been to her in counseling. And as I tried to recollect that session, I don't think I said 10 words. And when she was finished, I said to her, "Let's pray." And I prayed. And whatever happened then was a tremendous blessing to her. My part was minimal in extreme. Visit them. Visit the sick. Visit the fatherless. Visit the imprisoned. Just be with them. Give yourself. And that is the finest antidote to loneliness.